Good morning. Welcome as we gather here in our Lord's house to worship and praise Him, especially on this holiday weekend. It's good to see so many of you came out to join us. I am Pastor Jerry Mink. It says in the worship folder, if you've already looked at that. Most recently was pastor at Faith Lutheran in Lake Forest. Retired from there last August and now live in the Grays Lake area. And loving spending time with my wife, although she kind of gets a little frustrated with me at times, having me around all the time. This weekend especially, what'd you say, dear? Didn't have to, no. And also enjoying spending time with our grandchildren. We have one of our grandchildren is with her this morning. So glad to be with you and pray his blessings on our worship as we join in our opening hymn.
Before you, Lord, we bow, our God who reigns above and rules the world below, boundless in power and love. Our thanks we bring in joy and praise, our hearts we raise to you, our King. The nation you from foes and fears at rest, protected by your care. For this bright day, for this fair land, gifts of your hand, our thanks we pay. Every mountain high, each vale and forest green, shine in your words pure light, and its rich fruits be seen. May every tongue be tuned to praise and joined to raise a grateful song. Earth, may your Maker's voice, your great Redeemer own. Believe, obey, rejoice, and worship Him alone. Cast down your pride, your sin deplore, and bow before the And when in power he comes, oh, may our native land from all its rending tombs send forth a glorious band, a countless throng with heart to sing to heaven's high King salvation.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We begin our services most generally on Sunday mornings using these words which remind us of our baptism. What is baptism?
Baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word.
What benefits does baptism give?
Works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation
to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare.
What does God's word in Romans 6 teach us about baptism?
We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life.
To your name, most holy, O Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I claim a place, though weak and lowly, among your saints, your chosen host, buried with Christ. Dead to sin, your spirit now shall live within.
What is confession and absolution?
Confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins, and second, that we receive absolution, that is, forgiveness from the pastor as from God Himself. Not doubting, but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven.
Confess and admit your sins then to God the Father.
I have lived as if God did not matter and as if I mattered most. My Lord's name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let His love have its way with me. And so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I fail to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I pray you, Almighty God, merciful Father, for the sake of the innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Do you believe that the words of Christ's forgiveness I speak to you are from the Lord Himself?
I do.
Receive then the forgiveness of Christ won for you by His passion, death, and resurrection. By the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I, a called and ordained servant of the Word, forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
My conscience is at peace. From the law I stand acquitted. Christ hath purchased my release and my every sin remitted. Not remains my soul to grieve. Jesus, sinners, doth receive.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us join together in praying Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul in all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. You may be seated.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is taken from Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to rise in honor of the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated as we join in our next hymn.
life and freedom gave us. Tell how the Spirit calls from every nation His new creation.
I invite you to bow your heads and join me in a brief word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Give me liberty or give me death. Familiar words? You know, they should be. I mean, we all studied it in American history, even if it's been a few years since we did that. So perhaps a better question would be, who actually spoke those words? Patrick Henry, right? At St. John's Church in Richmond, Virginia, in the year 1775. Of course, I might also ask why those words remain so memorable. Could it be that those impassioned words, which became the battle cry for our nation's fight for independence, could it be that those words still ring true even today? Faster than a Minuteman could reload his musket, those words made their way to every important city in the fledgling republic. And this way before the advent of email or Twitter, even before telegraph. They made their way to such places as Boston or Philadelphia, to Charleston and Yorktown, and in the process ignited a firestorm that would not only lead to the defeat of the British Army, but to independence for this fledgling nation. And yet Henry's words didn't stop there. For his words continue to echo down through the corridors of history right up to this present time. And all because, apart from being some pithy, to-the-point statement, Henry's "Give me liberty or give me death" is true. Freedom is worth fighting for. Why, freedom in many cases is worth as much as life itself. In fact, a longing for such freedom is so written on the human heart that is why those seven little words struck such a nerve in those early patriots, and why on the 4th of July in the year of our Lord 1776, 13 American colonies agreed that freedom from tyranny was worth a little bloodshed. And from that moment on, that date has been set aside as a day to remember and to celebrate our nation's independence. From that moment on, the 4th of July has been set aside as a day to remember those courageous words which fortified a nation. Give me liberty or give me death. But you know something? Those are not the only courageous words that have come down to us through history. In fact, there are many courageous words recorded right here in the annals of Scripture. I mean, remember Moses? When he confronted his people's captor and said, "Courageously, let my people go." Even though Pharaoh initially refused. Of course, once the angel of death had passed through and struck down the firstborn of every living creature, except among those who, at God's command, had smeared the blood on the doorposts and the lintels of their houses, once Pharaoh had lost his own son, it didn't take him long to do exactly that, to let God's people go. And as you may recall, it was Joshua who, once the children of Israel had entered the promised land, used a covenant renewal ceremony to call them to repentance and to force them to choose who they were going to serve. In fact, as Joshua closed out that appeal, didn't he courageously say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? And who among us can forget the words of the prophet Isaiah when called to be a prophet? Humbled by that vision of the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. More importantly, mindful of his own shortcomings. Being, as he himself put it, a man of unclean lips. Wasn't he the one who once the angel had touched his lips with that burning coal taken with tongs from the altar? Who once he'd heard the Lord ask, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Wasn't he the one who courageously replied, "Here am I, send me"? And the list goes on. From Daniel to Nehemiah, all of them courageously speaking out on behalf of the God who had always been there for them. And yet, what if I were to tell you that the most courageous statements in all of Scripture actually came from the mouth of the God-man, Jesus of Nazareth? After all, who could more courageously have spoken and said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing"? Who could more courageously have spoken and said, "I thirst," or ultimately, "It is finished"? What if I were to tell you that those words were the most courageous words this universe has ever heard? Now, I realize they don't sound all that courageous. I mean, simply praying for one's enemies, or declaring one's thirst, or having endured the beatings and scourgings and ultimately crucifixion, simply announcing as he hangs his head and gives up the ghost, "It is finished." And yet, as humble or as inconspicuous as those words might sound, they were actually spoken by our Lord as he hung on that accursed tree for you and for me. That's as humble as they might seem. Cloaked in frail words though they might be, each of them, together with the others, formed a mighty declaration. As on that cross, our Lord declared to all of creation, "I will give you liberty through my death." And it's true, isn't it? Liberty in the spiritual sense. Freedom is ours, but only because the death was his. In fact, on that cross, our God made it overwhelmingly clear that nothing, and I repeat, nothing, neither death nor life, neither the angels nor demons, the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation would be able to separate us from his love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Unfortunately, I think we'd all have to agree that religious liberty that we take for granted sometimes, that religious liberty has been under attack literally from the beginning. In fact, it would seem as though the religious liberties that we experience here in our country are under attack like never before. I mean, when one hears about a high school football coach being suspended for praying at a football game, or about a Marine being court-martialed for refusing to take down a Bible verse, when one reads about city officials subpoenaing sermons from area pastors to check up on them and see what they're saying about sexuality and gender, or we hear about Christian ministries being pushed off college campuses for having Christian statements of faith. Well, just this past week, our own Supreme Court struck down a Texas law that was intended merely to protect the health of women and children. Well, the state of California is set to pass a law that would restrict the free exercise of religion on, of all places, campuses of Christian colleges and universities. And we hear about these things, we start to wonder, where is it all going to end? And yet, as discouraging as that all might sound, I'm here to tell you this morning that no matter what our courts may say, no matter what our elected officials might do, there's one freedom that can never be taken away. Granted, they can make things pretty miserable, and we're seeing some of that today. Yet no matter how much ridicule and or rejection we might face, we have our Lord's promise that having built the church by his son's perfect life and sacrificial death, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so it is my prayer as we gather here this morning, even as we celebrate our earthly liberty, that we will never allow that, or the absence thereof, to overshadow the importance of our eternal freedom in Christ. After all, such freedom is ours because the death was his. And that can never be taken from us. Amen. We rise and join in confessing our Christian faith boldly and courageously. What do you believe about Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
What does this mean?
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. You may be seated as we now gather our gifts to present to the Lord.
Thank you.
We rise.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you
in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue with our preparation for the Lord's Supper at the bottom of page 9. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
What is the sacrament of the altar?
It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and drink.
What is the benefit of this eating and drinking?
These words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, shows us that in the sacrament, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given us.
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
We share the peace.
God's peace.
My soul believe and die. thy grace to timid hearts that tremble in tribulation's furnace tried. By grace, in spite of fear and trouble, the Father's heart is open wide. Where could I help and strength secure if grace were not my anchor sure? Grace on this I'll rest when dying in Jesus' promise.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve each of you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. We pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.
God of love, oh. give peace again. Remember, Lord, thy works of old, the wonders that the people told. Remember not our sins, dark strait. Give peace, O God, give peace again. Whom shall we trust but thee, O Lord? Where rest but on thy faithful word? None ever called on thee in vain. Give peace, O God, give peace again. Where saints and angels dwell above, all hearts are knit in holy love. Oh, bind us in that heavenly chain. Give peace, O God, give peace again.
Once again, it was great to be with you this morning, and we pray God's blessings on the message that you heard. And a special blessing on your celebration tomorrow on the 4th of July. Have a wonderful day.